At his news conference yesterday, President Bush was asked about the economy and why repeated tax cuts have not produced the desired results. The president gave an accounting of obstacles to economic growth, including the attacks of September 11th, and he included the media atmosphere in the months leading up to the war in Iraq.
Remember on our TV screens, I'm not suggesting which network did this, but it said, "March to War," every day from last summer till the spring. "March to War, March to War, March." That's not a very conducive environment for people to take risk when they hear "March to War" all the time. And yet our economy is growing.
Lawrence Meyer is an economist with Macroeconomic Advisors of St. Louis. Last fall, he took part in a conference at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, where he's a distinguished scholar, on the economic consequences of a war in Iraq. And Lawrence Meyer, before talking about those consequences, what about the idea that a CNN or a Fox News or MSNBC or all of them together can somehow put a drag on economic growth by intoning march to war over snare drums and timpani?
Well, I think there were war jitters, but I believe it was the president who marched us to war and repeatedly made the case. I think you know that the etiquette here is you don't kill the messenger who brought the bad news. So there might have been some hyping here, but the main story was that we were marching to war, and there were a lot of risks. There were concerns about biological, chemical, and even nuclear weapons. There were concerns about what would happen to oil supplies and oil prices. This was a major concern for the economy and for the business sector.
How do such concerns and jitters translate into an actual impact on the national economy?
Well, I think there are two in this case. One is the potential that oil prices will rise out of concern about possible impacts of the war, and that happened. Rising oil prices immediately undercut real consumers' income and slow consumer spending. And the second is that sometimes there are psychological impacts on consumers that we can see in terms of what happens to consumer confidence measures. Sometimes consumer confidence declines in a way that doesn't seem to be in line with the underlying economic fundamentals, and that's what was happening in this case, too.
Can we look back to history, to wars and the U.S. economy in the past, and say this is what typically happens before and after a war and before and after those jitters fade away?
Well, I think that's difficult because many of the earlier wars were longer, involved more of a buildup in terms of military spending, and that impact was much larger on the economy. And some of the earlier wars didn't have the impact of weapons of mass destruction or the impact of concerns about biological and chemical weapons. But what we did see in the first Gulf War was exactly the same pattern of big decline in consumer confidence having a very big impact on consumer spending.
And yet, within months after the end of that war, as I recall, the economy was a lot worse off than it had been before.
But it came at a time when the economy was sliding into a recession. And the impact of the war just deepened the recession that was probably going to happen in any case.
Does the scale of the modern war that the U.S. seems to get into nowadays, does that rule out the impact that many of us were raised on, the idea that when the U.S. mobilized for the Second World War in a big way, that got the economy moving?
There is still an impact of that nature, but it's smaller and less persistent. If you'll notice in the numbers that came out today, I believe defense spending increased at a 44% annual rate. You know, it's not bad. So there is an impact, no question. But as it is, I think the war jitters certainly weighed on the economy leading up to the war. And the economy is only shaking that off and now looking better at this point.
Lawrence Meyer, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure.
Economist Lawrence Meyer of the Center for Strategic and International Studies of Washington, D.C., and Macroeconomic Advisors of St. Louis.